Send in the clowns. Those Daffy Laffy clowns. Send in those soulful and doleful schmaltz by the bowlful clowns. Send in the clowns.
They're already here.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Podzilla 1985 Presents. I'm Tanner Calvert, and I'll be your host today. Yes, I know Shannon's not here, but he gets a day off occasionally. But today, we have something very special. This is Podzilla 1985 Presents Kevin Farley. And yes, that's his brother. And he's performing here in Cape this weekend at the Laughing Gas. So, without further ado, Kevin Farley. Kevin, how you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing good. A little earlier than normal, but I actually prefer recording like this, so this is a pleasant surprise.
So, yeah, I don't mind. You get up too early, huh? You don't like that.
I honestly, out of the rest of the guys in the podcast, I am the early bird.
Are
you? Yeah. Everybody here is, you know, Midwest, but I'm the country Midwest, so I like getting up early and being outdoorsy. So. Yeah, so you had a show last night here in Cape. How'd that one go?
Good, over at the Laughing Gas. It went well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great place. You know, Jeff Johnson is the guy that runs it over there with his wife. And he's runs a good show over there. They've got a nice lounge area, so you can have, you know, some beers and there was karaoke after my show, but you know, the show went well. It's a nice club.
Yeah.
It's brand new.
Yeah, I know. I think you're one of the first headliners they've actually had since they've opened. I know when they first announced it, we were all pretty excited because it's before this, we've had to go places like St. Louis to see, you know, comedy shows, and it's nice to have that kind of venue here.
Yeah, St. Louis is I see it's a 2-hour drive. I got picked up at the airport.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but you know, it's always nice to have something right here.
Yeah, definitely.
So, where I know you're from the Midwest. So, where exactly are you from?
Well, I was born in Madison, Wisconsin, I lived there for a good long time. Sorry.
No, you're good.
So sorry about that. I was born in Wisconsin, Madison.
So I'm assuming, well, I'm not going to assume. So who's your favorite football team? Because you've got to be a football fan being from the Midwest.
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, man. You're going to break some people's hearts.
Yeah, well, we won last night, so I was excited.
I bet. I'm sure that was a little distracting trying to do your show and check the scores. And
I was very upset that my show landed on the first night when I found out. I was like, oh, no. But that's the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
But we ended up watching most of the third, fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And the weird thing about this area, there is a surprising number of Green Bay Packer fans. Like,
is that true?
Yeah, surprisingly. I know I've got several family members that are Green Bay fans. One goes so far as every login name he uses has Cheesehead to the title.
Well, you know what? Like, it was appropriate that it was the 100th anniversary of the NFL. And I think they started that because Green Bay and Chicago, I believe, were the first two to start it.
They're definitely two of the most storied franchises in the league.
Well, I think they've been around one of the longest, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Green Bay was 1919, which they celebrated their 100th anniversary last year. So.
Yeah, that's always exciting. I know in our podcast, we have several of the participants in it. We formed a fantasy football league, so football is very popular in our little group.
Me too. I've got one, and I love doing fantasy football.
Yeah, it's been a ball. I've only recently got into it in the last 4 years, and I've fallen head over heels for it. So, you obviously come from a very comedic family. Was the family always like this? Did you guys were you playing pranks on each other, or was just funny stories always happening in your life?
Yeah, you know, I think the way we dealt with life was through humor. You know, and if you could find the silver lining in things, that was the trick to getting through life. So we used humor that way.
Yeah.
So, and then it just became kind of a natural outlet that we were comedians.
Yeah. Well, did you go through any kind of theatrical training or comedic training? I know a lot of comedians go through like improv school and stuff.
Yeah, I was down at the Second City.
Oh, okay.
I lived down there and worked down there in the mid-90s. And I trained there. And then I trained at the Improv Olympic in Chicago for a few years. And then I went on to work with Leslie Kahn in Los Angeles, the acting coach. And so I've had a lot of training in improv as well as acting.
Okay. So how long have you actually been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up for probably since 2012.
Uh-huh.
Something around there. And I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I've learned it's a challenge. It's a challenge to perfect your act and make it perfect, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also got to deal with heckling fans. I'm sure sometimes you have crowds that are...
Yeah, we had one last night. She was a bit under her cups.
Oh, Lord.
But you know what? They like to drink in stand-up. They love to drink. You know, and that's part of how the club makes their money, so I don't begrudge them, you know.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely not. Just some people, I don't know how to say it. Like, some of them just weren't, or don't have proper manners, I've seen in the few comedy shows I've been to.
I don't know. They don't have good manners a lot of times. And, you know, I think most people have great manners. You know?
Yeah.
And they understand, you know, most people.
Oh, yeah. Like, one of the comedy shows I've been to, it was Christopher Titus, and out of a room of probably 1,500 people, there was one person that was just the rudest. So, you know, it's not all comedy fans, but you just occasionally get that one bad egg in the show.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they can ruin it for everyone, you know, and that's what's so, I think a lot of comedy clubs, they try really hard to say, please don't talk to your neighbor, and please don't get on your phone, and we have to remind them, you know, over and over again. I don't know. For some reason, stand-up breeds this kind of attitude where you can talk to the performer, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know why it does that, but there's always one or two people that think they're helping out the show and not.
Yeah, I've noticed that, especially, like, I'm wanting to say maybe it's this new trend. I've seen a lot of comedians who try to involve the heckling fan in their show now. I know there's a comedian out there now, Drew Lynch. He strives on the people heckling him, and sometimes the shows get a little out of hand, but which, I mean, that's fine. That's his brand of comedy, and it works for him. It just, I feel like maybe that's giving everybody the wrong idea of what you can do at a comedy show.
Yeah, because if you're good at it, which, you know, the only way that you can be good at it is if, like, the incoherent person is talking back. Sometimes they're so drunk they can't really talk back. And then they need to be removed. Like, they get really drunk.
Yeah.
You know, and then they can't really talk back. You know, but if you can talk back, I mean, if you have the capacity. Sometimes they're so drunk that they don't have the capacity to talk.
I got
and
you.
So it becomes strange, you know. That becomes weird.
Yeah. Well, on that topic, so what is in the past? And you don't have to say where it was at or anything, but can you describe your worst show? Like, was it a fan or just the venue you were at? What was the worst show you've done?
I've had plenty of bad shows that erupted into, like, chaos, you know? I don't know one offhand, you know. I just remember one girl, you know, usually they leave in tears. I've had many people leave in tears, you know. And, you know, sometimes the audience will kick them out and they'll say, get out of here, you know. It becomes like a rumble.
Yeah.
Well, I had that happen, but, you know.
Yeah, you have people in there having a good time. They don't want that one person ruining it for them.
Yeah, so they end up turning on that one person, and that one person gets literally by the whole crowd turned on, you know. And that's something to watch. That's pretty fun to watch. It turns into like a real, like, WWE kind of thing, you know.
Oh, that's right up this podcast alley. We're all big wrestling fans as well. Actually, two of our members are professional wrestlers.
I don't mind that. I don't. If it doesn't get violent, you know, but sometimes the crowd will turn on the heckler, and, you know, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not violent, I don't care. Like, WWE doesn't get violent, but, you know, you have your villains and you have your good people. And, you know, when the crowd turns on you, it's fun. It's a good show.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, and that's one of the things we've talked about in the past on previous shows. It doesn't matter what reaction you get, as long as you get a reaction. The only time they're mad is when you're quiet.
Yeah. That's the worst part. Yeah.
And I guess that goes the same way with comedy too.
Yeah. You know, obviously I don't want people to be upset and angry, but I want to get a reaction. I'd rather have a reaction out of them. You know, I'm not coming to say nice things. I'm coming to say either funny things, provocative things, things that make you think, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's, watching some of your videos on YouTube, I've noticed that. And I think one of my favorite things I found on there, and I was hoping you could tell this story for the fans who are listening, there was a story you told about your brother at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I found that hilarious. I was wondering if you'd be willing to share that story with us.
Well, he just gave everybody a sex toy. And it wasn't really funny. I mean, he thought it was going to be really funny. That's the thing. And he thought my dad would really laugh. But it was a joke that went so south that it was so awkward for the rest of the Christmas that, you know, he ended up feeling really bad about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I kind of tell the story in more of a funny way.
Yeah. Oh, I've shared the video with a lot of our friends and stuff just because the video just clicked with me. It was hilarious because it reminds me of something someone in my family would do. And I think that's what was so funny about it.
And I honestly think Chris thought it would be really funny, you know. And I think he was just like, if I give everybody a sex toy, it's going to be one of the funniest jokes ever. And he made the mistake of buying too many sex toys. And it ran its course. And everybody, you know, one sex toy is funny. 30 sex toys or 100 sex toys are not funny.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, because I remember you saying he said he bought 100, but how many people were actually at the family Christmas?
Yeah, you mean what was the question?
In the video, you mentioned that he said he bought it like 100 of them. And yeah. So how many people were actually at the Christmas party?
Well, there were like 5 of us.
Oh, Lord.
Plus my grandma, you know. So 6 people, you know.
Yeah, so I think that turns the level of the funny up. Well, in his mind, that would have turned the level of the funny up just 100, because here you got just 100 sex toys laying around the house and there's only 6 people there.
Yeah, and then the next morning we woke up and there was sex toys everywhere.
Oh, Lord. That's great. I love that. That's just hilarious. And that seems like his brand of comedy, which, you know, it's funny now. I'm sure at the moment it wasn't probably just severely awkward and made a lot of people mad. But now, looking back at it, I'm sure it's hilarious for you too.
Well, normally the whole task of cleaning up after Christmas is kind of a grumpy thing. You know, the party's over. You know, and so what made it extra bad was that we were cleaning up dildos and you know, sex toys and stuff.
That's great. I can just see that. The Christmas Easter egg hunt. Find the dildo.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
That's great. I love family stories like that. That's I don't know. That's my preferred kind of comedy, along with, you know, there's other things I like too, but family comedy like that, not so much family friendly, but just comedy stories about family. That's what I get into. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've liked some of the stuff that you've done. Cause you know, you talk about your family some, you talk about it mostly in most of the videos I found, you talked about your family. And then like Christopher Titus, cause his is all family. What have you always done the family type stories for comedy, or do you have other stuff that you've tested with?
I think family and relationships are two of the most dynamic things that we can talk about, just because they're so hard to keep a family together, and it's so hard to keep a relationship together, you know, because life just takes its turns. And so I think that's where a lot of the comedy, if you don't have comedy in your relationship or your family, then I think you're going to have struggles, you know. And it's funny when people don't have senses of humor in the family, and people do have senses of humor, you know. And, you know, you might have a stiff aunt or a stiff grandma.
Yeah, that always makes for an interesting dynamic when jokes happen.
Yeah, and I always love the dynamic of a stiff grandma or a stiff parent and a kid that's trying to just get a laugh, you know, because the atmosphere is so like ultra religious or ultra, you know, kind of just stuck up, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that was almost my family when I was growing up. My grandmother was super religious, and I am the second oldest of, I believe, 8 or 9 grandchildren. And the oldest, my oldest cousin, he came out as gay when he was probably 21. And so his sense of humor has always been, I guess, raunchy would be the best word for it. Like, he's exactly the kind of person that would go out and buy 100 sex toys for a 6-person Christmas party. But, so here's our ultra religious grandmother, who just found out her oldest grandson is homosexual, and now the sense of humor is even worse on her. So that made Christmas and Thanksgivings and holidays like that fun, just because just watching her reaction to everything made it priceless.
You know? Yeah. And I think that, you know, sometimes that's what's so funny, because when you have a gay, I don't have anybody homosexual in my family, but of course that I know, I mean, there might be a cousin out there that is, but it is kind of funny that, you know, when you have the ultra-Christian, ultra-religious grandma and the homosexual kid, it's just funny. I think that dynamic is, there's a lot of funniness there, you know.
Yeah. And even to this day, like, I've told him he needs to look into writing stories down of things that have happened with us, you know, growing up as kids and just some of the funny stuff. But, you know, I think that's where a lot of humor like that, you know, is what pushes some people to the comedy. You know, you see a lot of people who go up on stage and tell stories like this. And, you know, that's just becoming one of the popular forms of comedy, is those family stories like we talked about.
Well, that's also where comedy can be the bridge between the grandma and the son, the homosexual son. You know, I think that comedy can be a bridge for people, like, you know, between two things that are so different, you know, and you need to try to reach out and cross that barrier. And I think if you can both laugh, then that's easier, you know, to get across. You know, get through the anger, get through the anger, get through the judgment, get through the all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a proponent of laughter heals anything.
Well, it cuts through. It cuts through anger. It cuts through judgment.
And if you're in a tense space, you know, it cuts through the tension. It cuts through anything. This past January, my grandfather had passed away, and on his last good day, we spent the whole time laughing and cutting jokes. He was the practical joker of the family, you know. You know, so though it was a sad time, that laughter helped in healing and helped him. So, you know, comedy's always been a very big thing in my life. At a young age, I would enjoy sitting and watching stand-up comedy, even if it was just on TV. And I've been criticized by some family and friends because I like it so much, but laughter is medicine for me.
It definitely is. And if you can get, you know, a laugh, you know, if you can get yourself to laugh, that's such a valuable thing, you know, and it's such a valuable thing to have, you know, because it's not our natural state.
Yeah.
You know, but it does cure a lot of mental illness.
Definitely. I mean, you look at, and if it doesn't cure it, I think it treats it. Because you look at a lot of comedians, a lot of people who are famous for comedy, you see these people have a lot of mental distress. You know, they're looking for help, and to them, their help is the comedy. You know, the laughter they get, the laughter they bring.
You know, if there's tension in a family, if there's tension in school, you know, if there's any kind of tension, comedy always breaks that.
Yeah. So you've got two more shows. You've got one tonight and you've got one tomorrow, correct?
Yep, one tonight, two tomorrow.
Two tomorrow, okay. And what time are those shows?
7:30 tonight, I think. 7:30 and 9:30 tomorrow.
Okay, all right. I know several of us from the show are going to try to get tickets to come out.
I hope so.
Yeah,
that'd
be great. Yeah, and, you know, when we seen that you were coming, we were real excited. It's always fun to see, you know, someone who has a celebrity status showing up, and you definitely have celebrity status. You've performed at some of the greatest comedy clubs in the country.
I've been all over, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's very impressive. Now you do writing and stuff as well, don't you?
I'll do acting and not as much writing, but more acting. Like, I have some acting roles, you know, that I do. But I do a voiceover on F is for Family.
Okay.
And which is on Netflix. And I do a few voices on that show. And then I do mostly acting. Like, I have some auditions today that I'm working on.
I got you.
So I'm an actor, a voiceover actor, and I'm a stand-up.
Yeah. Well, that's stand-up's my favorite thing. That's like I said, I've talked about that ad nauseum. But I tell you what, we might have to have you back on someday just about your voiceover work. I've got several friends who on the show as well who have done voice acting, and voice acting is their favorite thing to talk about. They've I've got one friend who's done video games and such like that, and it's just That's always an interesting topic with them. So, yeah, we might have to have you on again sometime if you're willing. We'd love to talk to you about it.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'd love it. And I have a website, Kevin Farley Official, where you can buy some of my artwork and some of my T-shirts.
Okay. So that's KevinFarleyOfficial.com?
KevinFarleyOfficial.com.
All right, guys, check that out.
My T-shirts, my hats, and my artwork on there.
Very awesome, very awesome. Well, guys, if you have any free time at all, go check out this comedy show. You will not regret it. You will have a ball.
Yeah. Please come.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show today with us. It's been an honor to interview you, and thank you for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I hope to see you at the show.
Definitely, definitely. If I can make it, I'll try to find some way to make contact with you so we can actually meet face-to-face.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Podzilla 1985 Presents, Kevin Farley. Go check out his website. Check out his show tonight. You guys have a good day. Thanks.